my soldiers, and they obey my orders. So you don't need to come to my house. You can simply give the order, and it will happen. I know how this works. And Jesus, he said, turned around to all those there and said, have I ever found such faith in all of Israel? He turned to my friend and said, you can go. Your faith and the power of God made your servant well. And then when he went home, found his servant sitting out. Wow. Jesus had done this. And this is Jesus I was going to have. And I heard about him in Jerusalem as well. I heard about some of his teachings and what he was telling other people, what they ought to do. How he had told people that they were to love their enemies. To do kindness to those who hurt them. He said that if you were struck on your cheek by someone, you would turn the other cheek as well. And then he also said, forgive. He said that when one of our soldiers made one of them carry their satchel for a mile, he said, carry it 2 miles. According to my way of thinking, we needed more Jews like this, not less. Good. This is the Jesus I had to listen to. For you see, when he came to Jerusalem, he made the wrong people mad. So they held together and they lynched him. They didn't give him a fair trial, that I know. He was condemned. Pontius Pilate had no choice. His hands were forced. He demanded his death, and they wouldn't hear of anything else. In the end, Pilate handed him over. There he was. But he'd been worked over already pretty well that morning. When it came time for me to give him the crossbeam, I didn't think he was going to make it. Not because of the crucifixion. I never took any joy in crucifying my victims. It needed to be done. My job. This man, Jesus, had a hard time. When we finally got to Calvary, someone had to help Jesus out. It came time to crucify him. Hoisted him up. Put him out of the dead with all of the criminals. Crucified. I'm sure everybody could see. Nobody would ever want to be like this. Hoisted him up and put him up there. I just couldn't stop looking at him. that something was very wrong. This man, I just knew should not be crucified. And I turned over to my friends who were kind of distracted. I said, Claudius, Antonius, we have killed an innocent man. This is wrong. He was a godly person. They kind of laughed. Whatever. This is something I've never done before. I went over to the cross where he was. I just knelt down. Looked up and saw his body lying there. Oh, Jesus. Surely this man was God's Savior. Listening to what Jesus says on the cross in the last 6 hours of his life. He speaks 7 times. These are his dying words. So he made an effort to say them. And they're very important. You listen to them and really hear out of them each time what is going on in the cross. You hear something about who this Jesus is. You hear something about ourselves. We're nearing the end. The last moments of Jesus' life. Mark and Matthew said that just before Jesus died, Jesus cries out in a loud voice. But interestingly, they don't record what he said. Luke and John then add the word that Jesus said. But we hear, in the moments as he is dying, Jesus says 2 things. One's a single word. It's a strong, final burst. The other is a prayer. Listen to that prayer on Friday. We come back together again to hear the last one. Friday night at 7 o'clock. John records this one powerful word near the end. The English is translated, "It is finished." For the longest time, I'd always heard that saying, he finally made it through. He got all the way to the end. It was finally over. His misery, his trial had finished. I heard it always as a sigh of relief. Made it. I'm sure there's some of that in there. But I noticed that in I will then draw all people to myself. It's like me, a metaphor of a magnet. People are drawn to him because of the sacrifice. Another time he says that greater love is no one than to lay down his life for a friend. It's a metaphor of giving up your life so another can have full life. Another he described as Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. A metaphor of the Passover lamb. When Jesus killed, when the Jews killed the lamb, put his blood on the doorpost, and then the death angel passed over and spared death to their house. We're also in John here. Another time he uses a metaphor of slavery. How he is the one who liberates people from their slavery and sin and death. Then he eats the last meal with them. He uses the metaphor, the covenant. He takes the bread and the wine and says to them, take, eat, take, drink. This is my body, this is my blood. But the new covenant. Covenant is a binding agreement that in the Old Testament was sealed with the blood sacrifice. On the cross, Jesus is making a new binding covenant between God and people. Another place that he talks about him being the sacrifice. Here he is, like the Old Testament sacrifice. He's there to make atonement. Take away the sins of the world by being the sufficient sacrifice himself. Paul uses tons for him. He calls Jesus Redeemer. On the cross, Jesus redeems, buys back slaves for freedom. Savior, deliverer, warrior, on and on and on. You see, not one of these images or one concept really sums up what's going on the cross. Each are true. All somehow, each one shows us a bit more, but like any good metaphor, if you can't get it all, and you keep working it too hard, it eventually breaks down. Well, just part of the truth. So what you need to do is you need to take these all and hold them together. This is how you can grasp the bigger picture of what's going on. Sometimes Christians like one idea so well. They really cling to it, and they said, this is the one. You've got to understand this way. Now, excluding all the other ideas. It's not the whole picture. It's too limiting of the cross. Too narrow, too small. People go just one of these. Close us off. Understand. See, the cross is much less like men. Can't fully get it, but it gets us. And it changes us. It changes everything. It changes our world and our lives in it. All of us need forgiveness. Some of us need to forgive ourselves. Some of us need to forgive someone else. The cross shows us our value, how to treat others. Some of us need to be freed from slavery. The cross shows us a power that is stronger than we are to break open that which keeps us down. Sometimes we need liberation. Sometimes we need redeeming. Sometimes we need to be drawn to God. Each time the cross gets us, it changes us. Each time the cross shows us what salvation looks like. In the cross, we see our need and God's grace. See our brokenness, God's love. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tells about the centurion. He met Jesus on the cross in a way that changed him. He didn't understand it. He wasn't able to articulate it. He couldn't describe it theologically right. He had no perfect theology. But he saw in and his death, a wondrous expression of love. He saw God. He saw wrong with humankind and God's amazing love for people, he is the first to get it. First to get the cross. The man who nailed him there is the first to get the cross. right first before they could go near it. All this is the barriers and exclusions. It's all made obsolete. Jesus removes sin, causes the separation we have. The way is open. We no longer need a high priest. Jesus has reconciled us. God. We can have God directly. We can speak to Him at any moment, at any place, no matter what we have done, no matter where we have gone, no matter who we are. Jesus, somehow on the earth, has brought us.
Can you hear Jesus speak to you words of victory? Speak words into your life. Can you hear Him say to you, it is finished, done, completed, accomplished? Amen.